We thank you, Lord, for this time again in your name and through your power, through your spirit. Speak to us, Lord, because we come to receive from you and we wait for your word to open our hearts and minds to the person you are. We thank you for that and we ask that your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I was led to the book of Jonah. Yeah, it's a hard book to go through.
I was seeing on Facebook or someplace where a big whale came up and the
swallowed the kayaker.
Yeah, and
but I looked at the book of Jonah and I had to label it. When God wants us to do something, then we decide we don't want to do it. Because I'll start out reading. Okay, Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, the book of Jonah, from what I understand, could have been written anywhere from 760 B.C. to 612 B.C. But it had to be before 612, because that's when they were taken over by the Babylonians. They're not really sure, but there's rumor, or there's, I don't know how they prove it, but they say that Jonah's father was killed by the Assyrians. And that's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Because here, his father got killed by an invading army, and he didn't want to go. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh to save people from being invaded. You think about that for a moment. How ironic. Even though how God tells us to do stuff that's way out of our thought process. I mean, I did that because before I went to Africa, I had no intention of leaving the United States. And when I went, I think it was good. You know?
You have no intention of going back there.
Well, I can't say that because I have no idea what the Lord's going to lead. I can't say I'm not going to go back. I can't say I'm going to go back. I do not have no intention. Yes. Yes. You see, so there's something positive for me to get pushed out. But, you know, and it's amazing how everybody looks at Jonah and says, Hey, he just didn't do what God would. Yeah, it would be great if we read. Yeah, and the word came to Jonah from God, go to Nineveh, and he went. That'd been the shortest book in the Bible, I think. You know, but we're people. If you ever look at most of this, 90% of it is what we should have done and what we did. And God has a funny way of leading us with that. And if you look, the other thing I really find funny, because Nineveh is more or less landlocked. He got in the sea heading to Tarshish. So to get to Nineveh, he had to go by land. But to get to Tarshish, he had to go by sea. He did the direct opposite. Everything he did opposite. Traveling by land, traveling by sea. Doing what the Lord wanted, not doing what the Lord wanted. I find it amazing, but I see it in my own life, how factual it is. We We know what the Lord wants, and we just got to try it our way. And I'm not saying it's right. Believe me, I know the Lord's way is better. But at times in life, you need to get kicked. And we'll find out Jonah got more than kicked. And the other thing was Jonah made the remark he was going to get away from the presence of the Lord. It's kind of funny. If you think about it, he thinks he's going to get away from the Lord by getting in the ship and going to Tarshish. You know, as we're reading, you're going to see why it's so funny, because he says the Lord made everything. So if the Lord's here, the Lord's there, the Lord's everywhere. But we'll get to that. Okay, now verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind and sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. So the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and their men cried out to their God, and threw cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps God will consider us so that we may not perish." You know, I read other places in the Bible, and it was in Matthew 23:27. Jesus was asleep in a boat during the storm. And they were all afraid they were going to perish. And what was his response to them was, "Where's your faith?" You know, here Jonah's asleep, and how he could sleep if the waves were that bad, the boat, I don't know, man. I know I'd be up in a second, but he was. But if you see how it's written, when I read on, he doesn't seem like he's excited about it. It doesn't seem like he's shocked. At least that's my impression. That's just my impression of. So, and they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for those cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lot, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? That what is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you?" So he said, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." See, there goes the reference to the sea and dry land again. God told him to go where he had to go across the land, and he chose the sea. God made them both. He's telling that God's in control of this stuff, and he chose the wrong thing. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempest. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Now, I have one other thing, is everybody refers to the fish when they talk to Jonah. But I see here, Jonah was sacrificing himself for this little group of mariners on one single boat. But yet, the irony is, he didn't want to go to Nineveh to save over 100,000 people. He was willing to die for a little ship and about 20 men, do you think, were on a ship? 15, whatever. He was willing to throw me into the sea. If the sea's raging, what's the chances of surviving? But God had that plan too. So, but Jesus, he died for the world, for everybody's sins. He sacrificed himself for the sins of everybody. And he didn't do it begrudgingly, and Jonah didn't. I think he was pretty calm. In how I read it, he wasn't. He said it's because of me. but he was very calm with it, and I just find it that he was willing to sacrifice his life for a few when God's job was to send him for men. Because the name Jonah, does anybody know what the name Jonah means? Peace. It's a dove. In Hebrew, it means dove. So that means the peace and gentleness and hope. Because if there's, like Moses or Noah, when he sent the dove out, the hope was the dove didn't return. Because then he knew the dry land. But every time it came back, he didn't lose hope. He just tried again. So I look at the dove as also gives you hope. Because if it doesn't return, there's dry land and we can keep going.
Didn't the dove land on Jesus when he was baptized?
What's that? Yeah, and the dove was above Jesus when he got baptized, yeah. So.
Was Jerry writing what he said in 12?
In 12? They say that Jonah wrote it, so I believe this is an after account.
Well,
after.
Is that a right statement for Jonah?
Pick me up and throw me into the sea.
Keep going.
Okay. Then the sea will become calm for you.
Right.
Yeah, I
he's taking the blame, saying all this has happened to you because I'm being disobedient.
Yes.
Is that true?
That
statement's not completely true.
No, but something would have happened anyway. But it, for this story, is it true? Because it's all put in the same thing. The Lord, and this is the Lord's plan. Because Jonah, he put Jonah in the boat. And that, so for in the story, it's true, but it's not because he had bigger plans. And I was getting to that, but you beat me to it again. And here, and this is where it is. Nevertheless, the men rode hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempest against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took a vow. I see that the Lord used Jonah for these men to bring them to repentance and unsee the Lord. That's why the Lord allowed him to get on the boat. This is just my opinion, my speculation. But the boat was just an instrument that the Lord was using to affect these men's lives for him. And I believe that a lot of people, when they look at that, they overlook that the Lord used Jonah and the boat for a purpose. It wasn't just for Jonah, it was also for the men. And it never says in there that any men lost their lives. They lost the cargo, but the illusion, life cargo.
Well, don't you think this group of men were going to sacrifice one person and they begged forgiveness for sacrificing innocent blood?
Yes.
And a couple thousand years later, a group of men sacrificed one man and said, "No, let his blood be upon our heads and upon our kids." 180 degrees.
And you're talking about Nineveh, the people who killed people compared to the Jews.
Compared to the Jews, right.
God's people.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you look at this story. A lot of people just look at the fish, the 3 days and the three nights, because that's what's referenced in the New Testament. But I think there's more of Christ in this story than what I was ever taught before. I was under the understanding that Jonah was spat up on the beach, and that from there he went to Nineveh. And somehow the people heard the story of the fish, and they believed the story. Well, after reading it 6 or 7 times, I kind of don't believe that anymore. I don't really believe that the Lord... Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself again. I can talk faster than I can read. Okay, so let me keep reading. Okay. Where did I... Okay, yep, 17 here. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish. See, there's God's plan. It didn't say he just made a great fish and poof, he was there. He prepared one. So, this was all his plan from beginning to end. Nothing new. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surround me, as all your billows and your waves pass over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward the holy temple, and the waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the mooring of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet, you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard it worthless idols forsaken their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that I will... have vowed the salvation is of the Lord. Now, if you look in the beginning of the prayer, you see, I, you know, but he's identifying himself. Then, if we remember, when Jesus died on the cross, he ascended into hell. And I believe that's what some of this is describing. I believe it's inspired word from God. It's telling us, you know, everybody sees, because the Lord references Jonah in the belly of the fish for 3 days, but there's more that he was telling them than just the fish. He wasn't giving them fishy stories. But it's very plain. Because, let me see. I have been cast out of your sight. Remember when he first did it, he was getting away from the presence of the Lord. Jesus was cast out of the Lord's sight when he went into hell. I don't know if the Lord can't see in hell. I know he can. He sees everything. But I think he chooses not to look towards hell. Because of all the sin and everything that goes on there. I could be wrong on that, but that's just the way I look at it. I see it's very hard for God to look at sin. But I know he can see it, because he does.
Isn't that why he turned from Jesus when
yeah.
he was on the cross?
Because of sin.
Look upon sin.
Yes, because of sin was put upon him. But I know he still sees it. He can still see it. It's because he can see everything. And I believe he chooses not to look towards sin. Because...
sin removed.
Yes. But, that's just what I get out of this. And then, at the end, I think it explains some of the story that we read previously. The last paragraph. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So, what was his vow?
He saw the Lord. If he saw him as Lord, then he would see himself as servant.
Yes, but or could it be referencing why the Lord told him to go to Nineveh? Was there a vow that he made to the Lord that this is what he was going to do, and the Lord was going to use him as what he said, just like we do? I mean, everybody can look at it differently, but the way I see it is, I think that he had a vow to the Lord, and the Lord called him on his vow. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Because if it's true that his father died, was killed by them, I mean, it's a reason, but is there any ever a good reason not to do what the Lord wants? Because he knows better. I mean, it's great to say it, love your enemy, but think about that. Now in Jonah's position, his enemies are the Assyrians who killed his father, and the Lord wants him to go there to save him. But yet he's willing to save a few men on the ship, but not hundreds of thousands, 100,000 people. It's very hard to, you know, you got to look. It's great to read the story as a third person, but if you read the story and look from their perspective, you see, wow, that's not far off what I would do. I mean, it happens. We always look at these stories. And we look at the person from a third person instead of putting our place. I mean, people do it with Job. Job questioned God. Oh, but we do. We question God. Because we always don't do what he says. We know we do what he doesn't want us to do because that's what we are. We're people. We're dumb sheep. We go astray. And it's throughout the Bible. It tells us that. It shouldn't be surprising. But we're always shocked when people don't do what the Lord says, isn't it? It's just like Paul. The Lord took Saul and made him Paul. Saul was a killer of Christians. So how can the Lord take Paul and make him Saul? Because I believe in my heart that Saul really thought that he was doing God's work. Because that's what he was taught from all these people. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. What's the other statement he makes?
Hebrews.
Yeah, he was there. He knows. And yet, the Lord took and used him mightily in the church after murdering Christians. Because I believe in Saul's heart, he was really doing God's work. Because he was listening to those ones that were teaching him what to do. When he should have been listening to see the teachings of Jesus. But he wasn't. He was listening to man. And now you have Saul whacked off his horse. That's what I say. That light probably smacked him pretty hard. And he went off his horse. And he was changed. And it would be great to say, that's what we see at the end of this story. Well, we'll get to that. You know, because that's the thing about this story is, when we end it, it doesn't seem finished. But this is where I believe that the Lord knows what he's doing, because we have the book of Jonah. So Jonah knew, if he was the author, which I believe he had to, because a lot of the stuff he just couldn't have known without being there. And if he was one of the mariners wrote it, he wouldn't have known what was on him, went on in Nineveh. And Jonah will read that he was on the hill by himself. So I believe Jonah had a change of heart. Jonah realized that the Lord doesn't look at us as the only ones that need to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. He would like everybody to come to him. But he has a foursome. But and then so the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. That's where a lot of the stories say he went to Nineveh. And I've heard it preached that he went to Nineveh. But I don't believe that's the case. Because when we get down to the chapter 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the second time. So the first time was there. The second time. Where was Jonah? I don't know. I have a feeling he was back where he belonged, at his house, when the Lord said to him, arise and go to Nineveh. And this is when it becomes good. This is one of the best parts, of the, I believe, for Jonah, is... So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ash, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, that neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. And cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil ways, from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their work and they turned from their evil way and God relented from their disaster. And he had said that he would bring it upon them and he did not do it. So, some people say it was in the beginning of 670 when this happened. So that gave them 150 years before they were overthrown. You know, but it was all God's plan. And Jonah, if it ended there, that would be a high mark for Jonah, wouldn't it? You know, he did what God said. He rose, went, did it, and the people changed. But God still has the rest of the story for us. Okay. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah greatly. There it goes. Goes from a high to a low. In a very short amount of time. And he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarsus, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. One who relents in doing harm. But yet, Jonah didn't care about that. And that's out of Jonah's mouth. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Was it right for Jonah to be angry? He saved hundreds of thousands, 100,000 lives from being destroyed. Should he have been angry? Or should he have been glad for what God did? What God stopped from happening? You know, that's, I look at it as he should have. That's why I say this is like the downfall. He went down, he climbed back up. But you look at our lives, How many times have we gone down, back up, gone down, back up, gone down? It's a reflection of our lives. I believe, and I believe me, I don't exclude myself from it. I do stupid stuff. My wife will tell you. I find it so hard for when people look and say, "Well, Jonah, he turned out to be such a bad." No, he did the same thing we would do, and the Lord warns us and gives it to him, and we still do it. it's great. The Lord wanted him to go save the unsaved. You know, we all would love to take a mission walk to 100,000 people and save them, wouldn't we? But if there were people, if they were all Biden's followers, what are they doing? Oh, there's the strike. That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing. There's nothing any different in today's world from our time to Jonah's. That has changed. We're here to help people find the Lord, but sometimes there's people that can get picky on who they want to help, and it's not good. And the Lord tells us about it. He gives us examples. It's hard to see. It really is. Because believe me, by the sixth time I read this through, I was trying not to read it. But you're laughing because it's so hard, easy to see in yourself. I could see myself in it. And I'm like, yeah. And as I read through the Bible, I try to put myself in it. And then there's certain situations you try not to. So what's it telling me? Hey, this is what I want you to see. You know, I believe that's what the Lord wants me to see.
Yes, keep yourself open to what the Lord is telling you.
Yes.
Some of those that you don't want to help are the ones that need it the most. And you go ahead and you help them anyway and get more gratification out of it because you've actually turned somebody.
Well,
I can tell you a story on that one later.
And Jesus said that. The same thing to the Pharisees. The healthy don't have a need of a doctor to sick them. Who was he with? He was with prostitutes, tax collectors, and all the riffraff of the world. And they were looking at that as bad. And he's saying, no, that's good, because that's who needs it the most. But we looked at it as, but do we have to really associate with those people? Yeah. They need Jesus too. And it makes it tough. It makes it tough. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, where he made himself a shelter. Now, most people just skip over that. He made himself a shelter. Because if you walk 3 days through the city, God's going to destroy it in 40 days. That leaves 37 days to be out exposed to the weather. But it says here he made a shelter. So I think he was making a shelter for 37 days. That's my opinion, and my opinion only. But I believe that's what the shelter's for. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head and deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned, the next day God prepared a worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a firm east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Hmm. plant now. The plant gave me shade, the plant, but now the plant was gone. But the plant wasn't there in the beginning. He had shelter. I said, tells you he had shelter. The plant was there, the plant's gone now. Jonah's angry about the plant disappearing. Or is it just redirected anger that he believes he knows God's going to save the people? What's he really angry at? What's his anger?
He lost something that he didn't have to start with?
What's that?
He lost something he didn't have to start
with? That's right. He lost something that he didn't have when he started. And now he's all upset. And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death, over a plant. But the Lord said, you have pity on a plant for what you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between the right and the left, and much cat and livestock. You see, when we get all caught up in us and what we think is right and wrong, it's time to ask, is it God that's right and wrong? Yes, a lot of things that go on are wrong. But should we, hypothetical question, know somebody that gets murdered and hate the murderer? It's easy that way, isn't it? It is. And sadly, our congregation has had to deal with that. But in the Lord's heart, he wants everybody. He don't just want the good people. He wants the bad people. And the good people are going to suffer. Because it tells you that when did he promise that you wouldn't go through trials and tribulations? No. He says, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. And why does he say it? Because he warns us that it's going to happen. But it's up to us to make the choice when it happens, how we handle it. And how anybody handles it, I can't say that they're right or they're wrong. That's God's thing. But the only thing I hope and pray that how people handle stuff is they look to God for it. Because no matter what happens, without God, it's tough. And that's what people seem to miss. If people that go through stuff without God, I sit there and wonder, how did they get through it? How did they survive? Yes. Yeah, my wife puts up a lot. Scott thinks Vinny puts up a lot. He ain't been around me much. That's how it is. That's life. And we look at things from our perspective. And it's hard to look from somebody else's perspective, even though that's what we need to do. But the main perspective is Jesus. It's not the fish. Yeah. He mentioned it in the New Testament. 3 days and three nights in the fish. But I think there's more of Jesus in Jonah than 3 days and three nights. And I think the biggest part is where it refers to us and what God wants us to do. That's why my beginning statement was, what God wants us to do and what we do. And that's very tough to look at, because we do. We mess up a lot. mean, every time you hear the stories of the sheep and everything else, and how appropriate it is. It's very, very visual. But how many times do we forget it? So, I'll close the prayer. I went on. Dear Heavenly Father, I just hope these are the words you wanted me to speak, because you had me changing and looking and changing, and you had me spinning the circles and looking at myself so much that I was really struggling to do it more. But I believe these are the words you wanted me to speak, because they're not mine, because I could only mess it up. It's all for you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.